Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
A lot of times when you see stuff on TV, you never really get the full side of the person's story. And I wanted to come in here and do that. I wanted to come in here and let them see what kind of person I am, what kind of man I am, and you know what kind of background I come from. So I think I did that.
Yeah, you did that all right. You're a former Bear because you're an idiot. Ray McDonald, released by the Bears on Memorial Day. All the football writers in town, including the great Adam Hoge, had their Memorial Day plans squashed because they had to cover this story. Adam joins us now. Cap and Haw continues. Brooke Weiss brought in for David, who'll be back tomorrow. All right, so yesterday you do the morning show, you get a little nap, and then you're going to hang out with the family, and that plan is moot. Ray McDonald is released. What is your thought on this? Does this blow back on the Bears at all?
It does. I mean, it just doesn't look good. I think that's the consensus. Does it really cost them anything in terms of money, or is it going to hurt the team? It hurts the team a little bit in that you actually sort of – this guy was going to start for you. So you are losing.
So a bad defense – that they're hoping to turn around, just lost a starter.
Right. So you were banking on this guy. Now, we can go back to 2 months ago and say you never should – that was the mistake. You never should have been trusting this guy in the first place. So that's where it's going to hurt them. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this depth chart, Cap and Brooke, and you see – you don't see a lot of names there at defensive end. I mean, Jeremiah Ratliff's going to have to play one of the spots. And now you got Jarvis Jenkins – and that's just from a football standpoint. This hurts you, and you were trusting him to get his act together and not do exactly what it took 2 months for him to get in trouble again. And so it does hurt you. I keep getting these tweets, oh, well, there was no guaranteed money. It was worth taking a shot. No, because you never should have trusted him in the first place. And then there's the whole PR side of it too, which really, I mean, has been a disaster, I think, from the start. The whole process, their flawed process of going after him and signing him, George McCaskey changing his mind, it just never made sense.
But don't you think because all of that occurred at the time that it did, after the season when things are quiet, and the Bears, to me, said everything they needed to say for public opinion for us to say, well, if he messes up, it's on him. I mean, I certainly don't feel... And usually I'm always the first one to jump back and say, why didn't you make the right decision in the first place? And it's like, well, okay, you had your private meeting. You came away with that. You said you get one more shot. The second you start to misstep, you're gone. So it's like, I don't look at it as a bad PR move for the Bears. I look at it as lucky it happened when it did so that there's still a lot of time left in the season.
Well, I guess it is a little fortunate that it happened in late May instead of later in training camp, where maybe you have cut a player or two that you would otherwise kept or given more of a chance. But I disagree that it doesn't hurt you from a PR standpoint. I think that they totally put this on themselves, that it's not Ray's fault. They, by George McCaskey coming out and saying he initially said no and then had a one-on-one meeting with Ray and changed his mind, all of a sudden just flipped because you talked to him one-on-one.
Well, and they also said they did not talk to the accuser,
right?
Correct?
And that bothered me from the start. And George had that quote where he said, well, yeah, well, first of all, he said he didn't want to hinder any league investigation that was going on. But again, why are you signing a player that's in the middle of a league investigation? This isn't a Hall of Fame player that's going to immediately be the difference between not making the playoffs and making the playoffs. It's still...
Do you see this team having a chance at the playoffs?
Maybe. I do think that when you flip a coaching staff and you bring in these guys that are experienced, you got the clown show out of here. That alone, I think, is going to add 2 or 3 wins. Just the change in the coaching staff. So that gets you back to close to 500, and then you never know what might happen. So maybe, but... You look at this defense, though, again, and we talked to Vic Fangio for the first time a couple weeks ago, and it kind of gave me a little bit more insight on why he vouched so hard for Ray McDonald, because he said the heart and soul of his defense is that defensive line. Those three guys up front have to be strong. They can't get pushed back. If those guys get pushed back, they're in trouble, and Ray McDonald has proven to be a good enough player in that sense. So they – from that standpoint, they did need him. And again, that's why why this hurts. And so I look at him being gone all of a sudden, and this is a blow to the D.
So, you know, what is the next step for the Bears? Do you think the coaches will address the media today? They start OTAs today.
Yeah, it's not open to the media until tomorrow, but the practices do start today. And as of now, guys, no one's slated to talk to the media except for the players. That's a normal thing during OTAs.
But they have to address this.
I agree.
They have to come out and go, look, we gave a guy a chance. Our mistake. It's on him. He's out of here.
Someone needs to. That Ryan Pace statement they emailed out yesterday is not enough. I asked if George McCaskey will be made available to us, and I did not receive a response. So I wouldn't count on it. But I think at a minimum, you have to have the head coach come out there. It's not fair to the players because look, we're all going to be there tomorrow, and this is the story, and it needs to be addressed. So are you going to let the players have to speak for the team when they did nothing wrong? Right?
That's a good point.
So, and they're the only ones going to be made available.
Response that's not fair to them. We've seen, other than the Ryan Pace statement that was emailed out, was the Kyle Long tweet.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all they'll say.
Well, maybe he's just a big Green Day fan.
Maybe.
No, I think that was very clear what Kyle Long said. And I think he was well said by a guy who's quickly become a leader in that locker room. But it's one thing to be able to tweet out something like that that's succinct and to the point. If Kyle Long tomorrow has to speak for the entire organization over a mistake that the organization made, not the players, I don't think that's fair to him. So at a minimum, I think John Fox needs to speak. I think Ryan Pace should probably say more than just a statement. But really, to me, when you heard how this all played out, this came down to George McCaskey. And I think he needs to speak too.
The interesting thing about this team is I do not see a scenario where they go to the playoffs. I think they're the fourth best team in a four-team division right now. Now, does that mean that they can't turn it around and win more games than anyone thinks? Yes, that's certainly possible. But I just don't see a scenario where that's a playoff team.
I mostly agree with you, especially defensively. I think the scheme change helps. I think the coaching change helps. But there's just not enough you can do to flip what was the franchise's worst defense for the last 2 years completely around, especially when you consider all the offensive problems they had, too. Are we going to go down the same road again with a new offensive coordinator and say this is the guy that's going to fix Jay Cutler and all the problems are going to be? No, I don't know how you could say that. But like I said, you win three more games. Well, that's 500. So you're at least there in the conversation. You never know how things are going to play out in the NFL. It's a league that's set up in a way where teams can go from 5-11 to in the playoffs.
You know, you look at this team, and every year we have a new offensive coordinator. We got Mark Trestman, the quarterback whisperer. He'll fix Jay. We saw how that worked out. We got Mike Tice. He and Jay are on the same page because they didn't like Mike Martz, who they loved when he came in, and they loved Ron Turner because he was good here the first time, and then they got rid of him. It's just this never-ending cycle of what's going on. But defensively is where I think they're going to be abysmal. Their defensive backfield is awful.
You got to figure out the cornerback spot. Alan Ball, you sign him. I mean, do we know that much about Alan Ball? But he's apparently going to be one of your corners just based on
how he's getting paid. So who's not starting? Tim Jennings?
Well, I think they have Jennings set for nickel back spot. It's lining up in the slot. Kyle Fuller, I think, has a lot of promise, but he was a lot worse than people tend to want to admit.
Other than the first month, he was the lowest rated corner in the NFL.
I know, and no one seems to want to admit that around the organization. Now, I think he has a lot of promise, and I liked him as a draft pick, so I think that's fair to expect him to be a good player, but I don't think it's a guarantee. So you bring in Antrell Roll, that should help from a veteran standpoint at safety, but you still got to look long-term here. I still think Ryan Mundy, who good leader in that locker room, good guy to have there, solid veteran, where he's been successful in his career has been as a number three safety, not as one of the starters.
Agreed.
So your depth there is questionable as well.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. More to talk about because Mike Florio brought up an interesting topic today on Pro Football Talk. I want your guys' opinion on that. 312-235-2525. Take a time out. Come right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Well, the first thing, before he even walked in the door, I gave him a lot of credit just for proposing the idea, because Ryan had asked me for permission to pursue him. We had a file on him with the information that we had gathered, and I looked at the file, came back and said no. So Ryan said, fine, we'll move on to the next guy. And then Ray, I don't know if he contacted Vic or Ryan directly, I don't know how it came about, but he asked if I would be willing to meet with him, and I said yes. So the fact that he proposed that idea, I gave him a lot of credit for.
That's George McCaskey, chairman of the board of the Chicago Bears, who are in the news for the wrong reason, because one of their players in trouble again, Ray McDonald, arrested for domestic abuse with a woman holding a baby at 3:48 in the morning. He was on a zero-tolerance policy, and he has been released. Kevin Hawk continues here. Brooke in for David. Adam Hoge is here as well. Our great Bears insider covers the team and works at WGN Radio. Okay, so John Moon Mullen has an article. We'll get to that in a minute, where he talks about the accountability that the Bears showed. But Mike Florio had a great, great article on Pro Football Talk, where he said that if you sign a player with a character risk and he ends up blowing back on your organization for getting in trouble like this, you could be sanctioned by losing a draft pick. He said maybe as high as a third-round draft pick to dissuade you from bringing character risks unless you're completely 100% confident that nothing will happen. You agree with that?
Well, I agree that the league has to do something to take a stronger stance against players like this. I wrote about this, Cap, a couple weeks ago, and the headline on the column was that the NFL still does not care how its players treat women. Look at it. You have this Bears, Ray McDonald stuff that happened. Your number one draft pick is Jameis Winston. Okay, everyone knows about all that stuff that went down there and the sexual assault allegations there. The Frank Clark stuff at Michigan with the Seattle Seahawks drafting him in the second round. In that situation, you had actual charges. You had a number of witnesses that saw him beat a woman. And it's in the police report. And you could interview him. The Seattle Seahawks didn't interview those witnesses. You know who got on the phone as soon as the Seattle Seahawks drafted him and talked to those witnesses? The newspapers. The Seattle Times did it. Got him on the phone the next day. They backed up all the same stuff they said months ago when that incident happened in November. So you're seeing all these teams and the league just as a whole not really care all that much about domestic violence. And it looks bad. So I don't know if taking away draft picks, it's sort of a slippery slope about who's actually a character risk, who's not, I guess. But I do agree with Mike Florio with the idea that somehow, some way, the league has to come down on these teams or do more to dissuade them from taking risks like this, because it almost always backfires and it just sends the wrong message.
I think you make a good point there. You're taking risks, because up until now, every incident before this has always been pushed under the rug. Two-game suspension, glaze it over, fine, whatever it is. All of these things have been pushed aside by Roger Goodell because I think there's so much money involved. The owners are in, everybody's in, yet the message continues to be missed. Now, how much more are you going to take that risk before the popular opinion of people? And there's a lot of women that watch the NFL. There's a lot of, obviously, more men that watch the NFL. But when when domestic violence is actually taken into account by the sponsors, by the corporations who give the NFL money, that seemed to be the only time where they actually made moves. Last year, right, with the whole Ray Rice thing, you started seeing Anheuser-Busch back out of their sponsorships, other big corporations. Money is the only way coming into the NFL, I think, that's going to get their attention. I don't think moving around a draft pick there just seems to be too much gray area to say, we'll fine you or we'll move your draft pick or we'll take away something if you have guys that can repeatedly get arrested. Because what if, like McDonald, maybe it's his first or second time, he hasn't been officially charged yet, you're trying to go through all of that, it keeps getting dragged out, yet you still have that reputation of him getting, at least a police car shows up at his house. That should be concern enough for me. But if it's not officially charged, then where is that gray line? And where do you say, yes, we'll do something or we won't?
I called a friend of mine who's a criminal attorney in Chicago. And I said, okay, Brooke and I are married or we're in a relationship. And you call the police. I don't touch you at all. We get into an argument and you call, you're a little unstable and you call the police and say, he hit me. He said, automatic. You may have not touched her. Nothing. Automatic guy is arrested. We'll sort it out later, but you're arrested. Not you, me.
Right.
And he said, many times we've dealt with cases where the guy has definitely hit the woman. She calls, correct, you arrest him. But we've had ones where many times, heat of the moment, argue, complain, call the police. No, ends up no charges are brought later, but that guy's painted, or that woman in some cases, painted with the brush of being an abuser when they did nothing.
Now, maybe for one incident, but how many times do we see time and time again, this is, it's repeated behavior, and it's a pattern that's going to predict future behavior. That's
correct.
Everything. I feel like everybody saw that with Ray McDonald.
Exactly.
It's that, like,
go back
come
to March,
on.
At a minimum, agreed. And we all said it at the time, at a minimum, this guy was guilty of making very, very poor choices. And then here he was a couple weeks ago talking to us at Hallis Hall for the first time and saying that he had learned to at least make his circle tighter and not put himself in these situations. And then you are exactly a year to the date from the first time the police showed up at his door because of an argument. Now, there were no charges. He wasn't arrested that time. But there was an incident involving a
gun.
No,
wait, because he just said if you call the cops with an argument, somebody's going to jail.
Well, if she says you hit.
So if it's just, okay, I understand.
The first,
right.
The
if there's
first,
any physical altercation. Alleged physical altercation, automatic arrest.
But the first one was she actually pulled the gun on him, apparently, a year ago. Nothing the cops showed up. It
right.
was an altercation.
And that's in the police report.
It's there. The point I'm trying to make is this guy just got done telling us he's learned his lesson not to put himself in those situations. Here we are a year to the date, the same exact weekend where this all started. And it's 3:48 in the morning. The cops are called again because you're there. You're in that bad situation. So even if there's something else going on there that doesn't seem apparent right now, and I don't want to speculate, you're still putting yourself in the bad spot. You clearly haven't learned your lesson at all. And that was obvious all along, which I think is the point you're trying to make, Brooke.
It is. And it's also like how, you know, there are thousands, millions of guys that would love to be in Ray's position, to love to have the chance to play for the Bears. My whole point with this is, why do we have to make an exception for criminals in the NFL? There are plenty of great football players with backgrounds that don't include criminal ones that I would enjoy cheering for every Sunday, whatever it is. It's like I'm losing respect for the NFL every time stories like this come out and teams continue to look past it, glaze over it.
That's why
re-sign them.
Saying, take a draft pick away.
You got to do something because, I mean, I don't know, but personally for me, I have lost in the last year or two a lot of respect for the NFL. And it's just not, it's become less interesting for me to watch because I know where their values stand. And it's like, if they don't care about this situation, I don't really care to watch the game.
I agree. I think some of the fun of the game has
right?
been
damaged. Exactly.
I actually agree with you, Brooke, and I've felt the same way. And I don't think it's just because I'm there covering the team and have dealt with this, you know, spending Memorial Day covering a story. I don't think that even has anything to do with it because I still consider myself a big fan of football. And these decisions that are constantly made by teams to – and every time I hear a coach or a general manager defend a guy because charges were not brought – it drives me insane. I'm so sick of hearing that. And it's for the reasons we just talked about. I mean, in the heat of the moment, something happens. A woman calls the cops, probably rightly so in a lot of these cases. Well, then, look, they're in a relationship. They obviously know each other. You're always going to make up with your significant other. You're going to have those conversations, and then all of a sudden they might decide not to bring charges later, right?
Right.
And that doesn't mean that something horrible didn't happen, though, and that the guy is not a bad guy, and that you shouldn't be employed. You shouldn't be employing that guy because he is a bad guy. And that was obvious all along, I thought, with Ray McDonald.
How is it, then, that he could sit across from the entire Bears management, have one-on-one conversations, and convince them in one day, probably 2 hours, that he is that good
guy?
That's what I don't get.
Well, he didn't have to convince Ryan Pace, Vic Fangio, John Fox.
Sure he did.
They were all on board. Vic Fangio went way out over his skis saying this is a good guy, blah, blah. He had to convince George McCaskey.
I think he had to convince all of them first, but collectively, somehow he did. And then they went to George and said he's a good guy, so they planted the seed.
Well, Fangio had coached him, so I think he believed in him.
For 4 years. As a
player is one thing.
That's the one thing I don't understand here is that, I mean, Vic was clearly convinced that this guy had done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's
being oblivious.
And he pointed, look, he said, we spent all this time with these guys, especially in training camp or with them all day long for 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're with them at work. You're with them right. at work. They're supposed to behave. They're supposed to do the best they can so that they can get paid the most money. But when you leave work, you're still a bear. And if any of us were, again, if any of us were to get arrested for the things that these guys have, I don't care how much money we all make or how talented we all are at our jobs. Why are we making an exception? Because this guy is good on defense and he beats women, yet we're going to make an allowance. He's really good. So just, it's okay. He's a good guy. I'm so sick of that excuse. Oh, he's a good guy. I spent time around him. Oh, did you? Did you spend time around him, around his girlfriend or girlfriends and their children, and to see how he treats them, how he treats the children?
Okay, now
how does he treat dogs?
Okay, what do you say about someone who has had one incident, has gotten counseling, has married the woman that he was with, has had always a track record of being phenomenal in charity work, community, people love being around him,
mm-hmm.
and his wife says, this has never happened before. Alcohol was the reason. Both give up drinking. Both are church going. And they said, we had a horrible episode in our life, but we've cleaned it up. Does that person get a chance?
You're assuming that after the damage was done, that all of those things have taken place.
Correct.
Okay. Most of the time,
no, I'm saying
that doesn't happen.
But that scenario.
Did you purposely set up that scenario?
For Brandon Marshall?
No. For someone else.
Okay. Someone else. Does that person get a second chance?
You're allowing somebody. Ray got like 15 chances. So if you give somebody a second chance,
who?
McDonald, if you allow somebody a second chance, the second you make the mistake, stop calling it a second chance. If you're going to say second chance, then leave it at second chances and then that's
okay,
it.
Okay, but this person, I'm painting the scenario for you. That's uh-huh. the only incident. There have never been police
reports. What kind of incident was it? Was it a Ray Rice where I saw it?
That's who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
no. Probably not. I probably would have kicked Ray out of the league and said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want you in here.
So
we don't want your reputation.
So you don't give anyone a second chance then?
Not for that. No. He should be in jail. If he was any regular person, he should be in jail.
No, because he went through what every single person charge the
oh,
first
yeah. Every
time
single
through.
Person will get the same treatment Ray Rice did.
Yeah, that's a pretrial diversion program.
Yeah.
They have that.
And the fact that he was a star NFL running back had nothing to do with him getting kind of pushed through along the way, and now he's back basically a free man. I don't think if you were to hit Mindy in a Las Vegas elevator when you guys were out there, there's no chance you would be sitting in that chair right now. There just isn't.
No, because I think Jimmy DeCastro would have fired me.
Because he's a smart guy.
Correct. But does that mean I should never be able to work again?
It means you should probably still be in jail. That's what it means. I don't understand why he didn't get jail time. I don't understand why.
Well, but your problem then is with the law, because that's what the law is
great.
In New Jersey.
Okay, then the law is wrong, and I also would not let him back in the league. No, I would not.
Never.
No. No. Not for something like that.
I think to answer your question,
would you
obviously
would you let him back in?
Ray Rice?
Yes.
I would not hire him.
I'm not asking that. If there was a team, you're running the Bears and the Oakland Raiders say, you know what, we need a running back, we're going to bring him to camp. Would you say he should not be allowed?
By the league. I don't think it's the league's place to say that you're not allowed back in the league. I think it's up to the individual teams mm-hmm. as companies.
All right, so you're Roger Goodell.
To not hire somebody, to make up their own mind on that. And I think that's why we get back to the Bears here and Ray McDonald. They decided that they're going to be a team that is okay hiring someone like that. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we're saying they look really bad today. Because they, and I don't think the league probably has the power to ban somebody from the coming back just for striking a woman. There's probably legal issues there. I don't know. Because eventually some they have to work against somewhere. It's up to those individual employers, I believe, to look at the situation, do their homework, and say, is this someone we want working for us? Is this someone we want representing
our
company?
Right, because I
want
to know what Brooke, where is he not allowed to work? You say he can't play football. Can he work on TV?
I mean, Ray Lewis basically killed a guy and he's on TV. You know, that's why I'm saying it doesn't matter. Morals in a court of law mean basically nothing. You get a job if you want. It doesn't matter anymore. That's why I'm losing so much respect for the NFL and sometimes sports in general, because I'm so sick of overlooking somebody's behavior because they're talented or they're worth a lot of money. Like, I don't care. I'm so sick of it.
Okay, but my point to you is, if someone does make a mistake and that happens.
I don't know. I'm not a judge. I wouldn't hire them. I wouldn't want them anywhere near my company. Hell no.
So in your world, they should never work again.
I don't know. He's not going to work for me. I don't know what he does. Like I said before, they can go shovel snow. But somebody like Ray Rice and or Ray Lewis, they get by. Floyd Mayweather. You know, the guy's the most popular guy in the world right now. He's got stacks of money. He can bet $200,000 on anything he wants. And he is a domestic violence abuser. Yet he is praised by millions. He makes hundreds of millions of dollars. Everybody still loves him. It just makes me sick. No, I wouldn't hire him. I don't know what kind of job he should get. But maybe after I saw he went through years of counseling, I had seen proven results of what he's done. I don't know. I'd have to reassess it.
Just one last note to listeners, viewers, people tweeting us. Stop tweeting us that you don't care anymore about this. That the Bears did what they should. They released them. The fans don't care. Move on. If I get one more tweet saying move on, this is a very important topic in the NFL.
No question about
it. And it needs to continue to be discussed. Every time a team like this screws up, it needs to be discussed until these teams stop screwing up. So I don't care if the Bears are able to get rid of Ray McDonald and not owe him a dollar. Good for them for at least being smart enough to structure the contract that way. It's about the only good thing they did here from a business standpoint. The rest of it was a huge mistake. They should be held accountable for that. The league has a huge problem here. And I just gave you two more examples with Jameis Winston and Frank Clark. And there's been other ones with Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, the list goes on and on.
Adrian Peterson.
Until it gets fixed, it needs to continue to be discussed.
The only league that knows what they're doing is the WNBA. Brittany Griner, Lori Johnson, sending a message.
They're gone?
Well, they got suspended.
Suspended.
I believe it was like 8 games.
Yeah, okay, Ray Rice sat out a whole year.
I can't even give a response to that. I can't even.
Adrian Peterson, a year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a time out. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Adam Hogue. You can catch him on WGN. Brooke and I will get into some NBA talk. Matthew Dellavedova, who I'd love to see in a Bulls uniform. Would you? 312-235-2525. And more on Ray McDonald, Mike at Palos Hills. We'll get to you as well. Be right back.
Cap and Haw.
I know who he is. And even you guys, it's been well reported about the process that we went through here in deciding whether to sign him or to pursue signing him. And, you know, at that point where it was said we weren't going to pursue it, you know, at that point I called two other teams in the league to recommend that they sign Ray. And I called Ray's agent to tell him, hey, if you need any character reference, anybody wants to talk to me about Ray that they might be interested in, have them feel free to call me. So I think that tells you what I feel about him.
Yeah, that didn't work out well for you, Nick, the Vic Fangio. Welcome back, Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Find us on TuneIn Radio as well. She's Brooke Weisbrod. I'm David Kaplan, D-Hoff lineback from Anaheim, California. Hawks and Ducks will tee up tomorrow night in Game 6. You'll get it on WGN. And, of course, Comcast Sportsnet, Pat Boyle, Jamal Mayer, Steve Conrad will have their post-game, Hawks post-game live for you. After the game goes final. All right, so there's Vic Fangio. How ridiculously dumb does he look?
Man, that hurts, right? What do you think about going back to those thoughts in your mind? And how do you then put yourself out for somebody else? How do you stick your neck out and say, yeah, I'm willing to vouch for this guy. If he does it again
and it blows back on him again, he looks like a complete and total moron.
And it hurts him for his next position.
No question. No question.
Because as much as a talent evaluation kind of guy, you have to be character evaluation.
So I would hope that Vic Fangio meets with the media and says, look, this is on me. I believed in him. He let me down. And I apologize.
How hard do you think that would be for him? How much do you know have gotten to interact with him?
No, I haven't interacted with him at all.
I think you're right. That would solve everything, right? And that would make a lot of Bears fans feel content that someone's taking responsibility for it. I think a lot of people right now are looking to point fingers. It was the Bears organization. Why are they signed? Okay, well, if someone says, yes, I made a mistake. However, if you do that, you're settling down the fan base. You're quieting the whole PR mess that this has become. I don't think it's been much of one. But after that, now you have your mark.
But see, I think
you publicly have your mark.
I think the Bears should announce, hey, tomorrow we're meeting the media. John Fox, Ryan Pace, George McCaskey, Vic Fangio. The four of them should sit up there and they should say, okay, we believed in this guy. He let us down. It's on us. And we want to apologize to the Chicago Bears fan base for this mistake.
Would you be okay with just John Fox doing that?
No. Absolutely not. First of all, he's not the face of the organization.
He's the head coach. I'd say he's the face.
No. I want the chairman who signed off on the deal. I want the general manager who agreed to the contract. I want the head coach, and I want the defensive coordinator who we just heard from said, I recommended two other teams. If you ever need a character reference, I will give you one.
So what are you going to do the next time this happens with the Bears? You want them every time that there's someone gets arrested to come out and say, well, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have signed this guy.
You told me that X player on the roster got arrested today and he's been a good citizen here. No, that's not the Bears' fault. That's that player's fault. But when you knowingly sign someone with a history of domestic violence in his past, a history. I mean, I read you the whole legal timeline. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 incidents that we know of.
He's been arrested five times.
That's on them. That is on them. And they need to account for it. They need to step up, take their medicine, and go, we foobarred this thing up in a big way.
But other than just making a statement, I'm sure they don't want to make a statement, then continuously take questions from reporters after they've said, yes, we made a mistake. Where then do you go?
They've got to step up there and own it.
I don't see that happening. I don't think that's the Bears' way. I think they quietly handle their business. I don't think this will be publicly addressed.
At the very least, I'd like to see, maybe you don't have the DC up there, Fangio, but you have Ryan Pace and George McCaskey, those two guys. We own it. We screwed up. We foobarred this whole thing up, and we apologize. He sold us a bill of goods, and we got snookered.
I don't think you're going to get that. I don't. I think at the most you'll get a statement that's been released. I don't think you'll get either one of them in front of the media, and I think at the most, if you get somebody to talk instead of the players, it's going to be John Fox. That's my sense of how this is all going to go down, because I don't think that anybody, Ryan Pace, McCaskey, nobody's going to feel, I don't know what the word is, but to go out there and admit that they were wrong, it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot. Right?
But they already have been proven wrong. They're
okay, then why? Then they don't need to come out and say, I was wrong, and be publicly embarrassed then. That's what I'm saying. They don't want, why the extra step? I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to happen. It would be great. I would love to see it. I would love to see someone take ownership and say, well, we made a big mistake on that. Never happened.
Ryan Pace's statement that he issued.
Okay.
We believe in second chances, but when we signed Ray, we were very clear what our expectations were if he was to remain a Bear. He was not able to meet the standard, and the decision was made to release him.
That's good enough for me. I'm good. I don't need to see him sit down and apologize for signing him. It was a mistake. Don't make it again. Duh.
Yeah, I would probably, if I was the owner, I would meet with the media.
I don't think it's going to happen. You should. I don't think it's going to.
Right. We'll get back to, there's a lot more calls on this. We've got Eddie Olchek in 15 minutes as well. But we'll get to Mike and Claudia and Tom and Gregory and Bob. Phone lines are hopping. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in an app today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's apt. ABT. App.com. Pleasing people. Since 1936. Quick timeout. Get to some of your calls. And Eddie Olczyk at 55 after the hour to talk Hawks, Ducks, Lightning, Rangers. All coming up.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
I don't know that I could speak expertly because it was just one conversation. It was lengthy. It was in depth. It took a lot out of him and took a lot out of me. I'm confident that he's going to do what needs to be done. He's going to do what's expected of us. And it's up to him now. The sense I got is that they liked him very much as a person, but questioned his decision-making. And that's something that Ray and I talked about and that I told him needs to be improved.
Yeah, well, I guess that plan's moot. Ray McDonald, the former Bear. That's George McCaskey, chairman of the Chicago Bears. George is a really, really good guy. He just made a really bad decision here, going against his gut when he told them no and then decided that he would meet with them and ends up letting them sign him. Bad, 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 bad.
I would love to hear what Virginia thinks about all this, too. Honestly, she had to put her stamp of approval on this as well.
I would think.
And did she meet with him? And what were her thoughts on Ray?
I don't believe she met with him.
Okay.
I don't believe. I believe just George did.
Okay. This is probably going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but I really don't care. I know the NFL is a man's game. Mm-hmm. Men play it. Men coach it. There's not a whole lot of place for women in it except for sideline reporting, being a trainer, or being in broadcasting, right? But don't you think for sometimes things like this, character judgments, character evaluations, wouldn't it be wise to maybe include somebody that's not in the tight circle of the NFL and only looks at the guy's playing history and how hard he's worked and how much he gives you on the field? I think that's where...
You mean like Allie and Draft Day?
I didn't watch that corny movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Okay, so say there's an Allie, like an executive.
Jennifer Garner.
Perfect. Somebody that can evaluate character a little better.
Did you see?
I think women sometimes have a different perspective and can look at character versus talent and help separate the two to make a logical decision that seems really logical. Don't hire this guy, McDonald. He's a bad guy. But again, I don't know. It doesn't exist
yet.
Okay,
so let me ask you a question. If any given Sunday, they had a female owner, too.
Cameron Diaz.
Okay. If the Bears had a... Virginia's 90 years old.
Right.
They had a vibrant 40-year-old owner. She's a billionaire. Beautiful woman. She's Cameron Diaz or whatever in that movie. And she was the one that sat up at the podium and said, I met with Ray McDonald. And I have given my stamp of approval that we're going to try this. And I hope he doesn't let me down. Would the reception from you and other women be different than the good old boys club just wanted a guy that they thought could help him win?
Maybe. I guess it has to happen for me to have an opinion on it.
Because maybe teams should hire a female in some vice presidential level role so that it has some teeth to it. I won't call it domestic violence vice president, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but didn't Goodell hire three women to...
To work for the league.
Okay.
I'm talking about each individual team.
Right. And how powerful you think that woman's voice is going to be? As soon as she says anything negative about a guy's character that everybody else likes because they see the talent...
Well, she would have to understand both sides of the equation here.
Well, and what side is more important?
Character obviously comes first.
Okay.
But let's not forget that they're in the business to win football games.
But if she discovers what his character is, then that should hold more weight than the talent conversation. And what I'm saying is, even if you bring in a woman per team, if it's like some ridiculous requirement, like every team, you need to have a woman now, you need to have a woman's opinion, it's still not going to work. Because even if she's able to see something different, and I'm not saying there are guys that can't see that. I'm not making that comparison. All I'm saying is sometimes we offer a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And if I can just see it, if a woman is in any level of organization, imagine she's like at the Cowboys, right? And she's going through all different options, draft choices or whatever, and she meets with somebody and just has a sense about the way he interacted with his wife, a conversation that he had, something that really said, no, there isn't any positive signs that this guy's getting better. Plus, he's got a track record already of getting arrested. I still don't think that her opinion would hold a whole lot of weight because I still feel like she'd be fighting against the talent argument.
She's probably right.
Okay, so I think there needs to be a team of people that create a character evaluation and assess some value to that. And that should trump how good a guy is.
I mean, Tampa said they had a number of private investigators talk to 73 people before they drafted Jameis Winston. Now, I have said on the show many times, if I was picking number one, I would not have chosen him. And he's a great talent, phenomenal talent. I wouldn't want him to be the face of my franchise. Period, end of story. Now, he's got no convictions on his record.
Right.
He's got none of that stuff. For me, he's not the type of role model that I want for my football team. That also said that Ray Rice had his charges dismissed a week ago because he completed the pretrial diversion program. He went through counseling. His wife and he appear on all accounts that this was a one-time thing and that they've worked out their issues and they're married and they have a family and the whole thing. I would also support giving him, now that he's been out a year, a second chance. So
yeah,
I think I can look at it both ways.
Yeah, I guess I can't. And with Jameis Winston, of all those 73 people that everybody talked to, the private investigators, did that include some of the accusers?
I have no idea.
Did that, you know, were they inside the house and the bedroom when all this stuff occurred? I don't think you can really get a sense of somebody unless you were actually there, unless you actually saw the way they acted when things got real. When it became time to be a human being, how do you act? Are you a considerate person? Are you a violent guy? Is your temper short? How do you react? I don't really know a whole lot about Jameis Winston other than what I've read, what I've seen, how he plays. He's a phenomenal football player. Yeah, he's managed to officially not get in trouble yet, but he's got enough of a pass to tell me, with a lot of money and a lot of free time, I don't know. I don't trust his decision-making capabilities.
Would you be shocked if you woke up next November and you heard he got arrested?
Not at all. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him get out of it again and again and again and again. It's like we've had to start accepting that's just the norm. The greater the player is, easier for it.
We live in a society where you're innocent till proven guilty. And if there isn't a preponderance of evidence where you'll be convicted beyond a reasonable doubt, you can't be convicted. Whether you're an athlete, me, you, Mike, Matt, Pat, whoever.
But you get a pass with being a pro athlete, with being a great athlete, great guy, rich guy, whatever it is. You know, successful businessmen get out of deals all the time. They get out of trouble. So you just buy your way out. It's sad. It's sad to see, but that's kind of the direction that sports has taken because we've all been able to find out
but
a lot more information.
Not everybody that gets no charges brought, gets acquitted, bought their way out. Sometimes it's legit.
Sometimes.
You have to be able to differentiate between the two.
Okay, well, the two times that it's sometimes, you can talk all day about it.
You're unbelievable.
But the most of the times it's not is what we're talking about right now.
All right, Eddie Olczyk's going to join us here in a moment from Tampa. We'll get you set for Lightning and Rangers tonight as the Lightning try to clinch a spot in the Stanley Cup Final. And we'll get into this Matthew Dellavedova stuff over the weekend. Some people think he's intentionally dirty, like Claudia in Belvedere. Others like me, yeah, he's an irritant and maybe skirts the line a little bit, but I'd like him on my team. 312-235-2525. Be right back.